What's up, guys? This is the Black Queer Culture Show with James Patrick. Check out today's episode. What's going on, everybody? It's James Patrick. Thank you guys for checking in to the Black Queer Culture Show. And I am so excited because we have another guest who is vibrating high on this low vibrational plate, Thanksgiving of 2022. We always are talking about Black queer culture and the subtopics of those entities. And I thought our next guest really represented, of course, one of those, but we're going to find out how much of all those entities that he represents in just a second. And I want to bring Chad Bailey to the front. So you guys give him a round of applause. Give him a round of applause. You guys welcome Chad Bailey.
Thank you.
Chad, how you doing?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for being available.
You know what? Listen, when it comes down to us, anything that we got to do for this culture, I'm always here and ready and willing to help and do anything.
I love it. I love it. And I appreciate your time. And I appreciate, on behalf of just, the creative community, I appreciate the things that you contribute. I'm going to go through a brief synopsis about what I have gathered from who you are. And then I just want you to fill in all the blanks, right?
I hope it's all good.
And I'm sure whatever I'm going to come up with, you have so many more credentials that supersede that. But you're the president of Pink Gorilla Entertainment. Tell me what Pink Gorilla Entertainment is.
Basically, Pink Gorilla Entertainment is, we're known for being the first family of out hip, and out hip hop is basically, our LGBT section of hip hop itself in our culture. So we're the first family and we're the first LGBT record label to really, and to really be out there doing things, going on the charts, being in movies, being in commercials, podcasts, TV shows, every single thing, just really being a record label with artists, with LGBT artists who are, really making a mark in out hip hop.
I love it. I love it. When did Pink Gorilla Entertainment come to you? Did it come to you in a dream? Did it come to you from watching the lack of inclusion that's been, going on up until the past couple of years? What spawned this?
Well, it was really Bugs Better's idea. My husband, it was really his idea because he was a part of another record label, Man Made, and they just ended the record label abruptly. And he was just like, I don't know what to do. And I was very connected to everything on the creative side, from photographers to makeup artists to, everything. So we basically worked together for his career. And one day he got a lot of success from what we were doing. So one day he's like, should we start our own record label? And instantly when he said it, I was just like, yeah, I'm ready. Because from the representations that we have in our community, it's not, I'm going to be very, very frank with it.
Yeah,
a lot of people weren't taking it seriously when it comes down to music videos, cover arts, making things look professional, making it look just as perfect as mainstream art. Mm-hmm. A lot of people weren't taking the time and really saving the money and doing the things that they need to do. When we came along, everything was professional. Everything was next level. It was just like everything that we did, we just kept upping ourselves. So it was just like, we have all the resources. We have all the creative sources here. We're genuine for people. People like us when it comes down to how we interact in the streets and interact working with different organizations or anyone that we work with. So we're just like, this can actually be a good thing. So after trying it, doing a little trial run, filling out the paperwork the same, it was set. We just kept moving after that.
Y'all were going 199 was not going to do. Like, you knew. Yeah. How did you even get into directing? How did you get into that?
I started directing music videos. Actually, for the past couple of years, I've been working with Bugs, directing his music videos and putting everything together. But I wasn't looking at it as like a career. Mm-hmm. I was looking at it as like, okay, I'm just creative. I like having fun. I like doing shit. So let me do it. I was doing it for him. Then I was helping other people with their cover art and a lot of different things. And then during the pandemic, when I didn't have a job and, no one basically had a job and a lot of Bugs was just like, he said to me, he was just like, you do know that this can be a career. And I'm like, you're right. And actually, I was actually researching. I was like, I didn't know what a creative that was. And I've researched and found the meaning. I'm like, I've been doing this for how many years now? And then when I think about directing, I'm like, I've been doing it for a little while too. So why not do it during a pandemic when people need music videos?
Yeah.
A lot of locations for music videos they weren't open. They weren't giving people the opportunity to do anything because they were scared of COVID. So me and Bugs had to create sets for a lot of different artists.
Wow.
Based on the ideas that I had. And we just worked as a team together. And That's basically where I started directing, and I've never stopped since.
I love it. You know, so many ideas came out of being in seclusion. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for a lot of people, especially for creatives, like, yeah, it was the first time for me that I could just, like, sit the fuck still. I didn't, you know what I mean? I could sit down. God knows if I could use the money. You know, we all needed to work. We all wanted to work. But it was a good time for me to just, like, listen to that voice in my head, you know what I mean, and just pull from parts of myself that I never had time to cultivate because I was always on the run, yeah, always on the go.
And so, also working for other people. So it's like,
yes,
yeah, it's a big difference. Like, it's a very, very big difference. And I think the pandemic really allowed people to see what their talents really are. And to it was almost like survival of the fittest. It was like, mm-hmm, the people who can't really survive, they were out here just stressed, distraught, and like going through a lot of different shit. The people who really was in survival mode got their ass up and did whatever they needed to do to every day, regardless, not sitting in the house and sulking, but pushing through it and figuring out what they need to do.
Figuring it out, literally figuring it out. I mean, it was an impactful time. And I think that depending on where your energy shift lied, depended on how successful you could have been coming out, yeah, of. You know what I mean? Because everybody had the same amount of time to, you know, to bullshit or use that time for productivity. So I absolutely agree.
Yeah. And it was like, be real. Like, it was, the streets were empty. Yeah. Everywhere was closed. So that was given, like, everywhere in New York City is like a music video spot. Like, why, yes, why weren't y'all outside shooting? Why? Like, it's like, I be feeling like when it comes down to tough situations like that, you just have to figure out like the one good thing you can find it in that situation,
yeah,
and run with,
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I had the chance to hang out in New York 3 times in 2020 post pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I came to New York. By the time I came to New York the third time, people were like, so are you moving and when will you be here? But I just remember like the streets were so bare, walking through Times Square. I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. We got to also get to know each other within this time frame. But I'm from Columbia, South Carolina. I'm a country bumpkin. And so I was in New York and we were just like walking the streets and I took this like jump shot pose and Pops Smoke, his like a huge picture of him was just on in the middle of Times Square and there's nobody around me, like no traffic, nobody walking, no. And I mean, this picture lives in my head and on my social media like forever, but it's just, it'll probably never happen again, you know what I mean? But it was just a beautiful time, especially in that kind of city, because I got to see a little bit more than I think I would have on an average, you, yeah, know,
because you would, yeah, have definitely been tired fighting through people walking on the street.
Listen, somebody would have gotten these hands, or I would have gotten them hands, or it would have been some hands had. Where are you originally from?
I'm from Jamaica.
You're from Jamaica. What part?
I'm from Hanover. I was born and raised in Hanover and also raised in St. James, which is that Montego Bay, where, you know, mm-hmm, all the resorts and everything is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's where Sinatra Groove back. Yes.
I have heard so much about it. Like, I still haven't watched the full movie yet, but people keep telling me that I look like Taye Diggs. I really don't.
That's such an American thing. It's like when white people tell me I look like Eddie Murphy and I'm like, get out of my face. It's so stereotypical because, oh, like, you don't know anybody else with a Jamaican accent and you, exactly, automatically.
But why did they go all the way to Eddie though? Like, what?
It's so far-fetched, isn't it? It's like, so like, why the fuck couldn't I be? I would rather have been Wesley Snipes, but you gave me Eddie Murphy. Like, you gave me Dr. Doolittle.
Because that's all they watched, those, so they could key at us.
That's it.
They have that same costume every Halloween.
Every fucking Halloween, every calendar year. That's the gag.
Wow.
All right, so I'm going to move on into some more lifestyle questions. So how do you feel like you express yourself through your creativity?
I feel like I express myself through my creativity by being very honest. A lot of things that I go through, I feel like people can relate. It's not like far-fetched and shit. Like, it's really relatable. But I feel like with my generation, we're so disconnected from what feelings really are and what genuine really is and being present really is. So I'm 26. So for me, looking at it and seeing how my generation move and how they think and how they don't care about shit, most of the times when I make a post, I want it to be of meaning. I want it to be of substance. If I create something, I want it to be something that people can actually think about, because we don't get that opportunity a lot. And even if we do get the opportunity, it's usually from people who are older, who have been a little bit more seasoned when it comes, mm-hmm, to creativity and their resources and stuff. So it's like, but people, the younger generation still ain't really fucking really, they're not really trying to hear. They just feel like, oh, it's cute. And it's just like, no, everything can't just be cute. Some things are beautiful, yes, but we have to find the seriousness in it sometimes. So I just like to remind people of, you know, just fucking think.
Yeah, I think there's a really big normalization that's happening right now where people just feel thinking is just, it's too crippling and it's too much, and finding the depth in something, it just takes too much of, for the fuck I really don't have, or, you know, it's automatically assumed that if there is any depth or complexity to the art, that it's not worth diving into. And like your art for me represented a lot of conversation pieces. I saw some of the videos from the links that were on your IG, from a couple of the videos that I was like, this is real, it's deep and it's real, and it's got nuances of this and subtext of that. And I think there's got to be a bigger appreciation for it, even in our current generation, the 30 to 40 category, so that we can kind of uplift these artists a little bit more, to give the people who are looking at us more feeling to, you know, do the same.
Yeah, a lot of the creatives who are icons in this world, they're, let's be real, it's a life cycle. They're about to be up out of here. Mm-hmm. And honestly, feel like we need to assure these people that, you know, we got this. We appreciate the work that you've done, and we've been inspired. We've learned. We took everything, and we got this. But I feel like my generation is a little sketchy. That, like,
oh yeah,
if the apocalypse happened, I don't know if these bitches gonna survive. Like I don't know. Like, I really don't know. Like, so
at all.
Yeah. So if I can use one little moment to reassure the people above me and the people who've done it before me, like, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know when across the waters, skin tone tends to be a big thing. We've seen artists and celebrities from different parts of the world, like Jamaica, even compromise their own skin tone, you know, to gain more access to a broader audience. Mm-hmm. What has been your take on being a dark skin creative? Have you ever been slighted, or have you ever felt like you were ostracized or, you know, marginalized based on your skin tone?
Yeah, I feel like that in every fucking day. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Every goddamn day.
Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. In every situation that I'm in, that's always a factor. Because it's like, for example, let's talk about like sex iron. I'm in ballroom. So I'm dark skinned. A lot of people out here have light skin privilege. They are attracted to a lot of light skinned people. If I'm battling again, he's light skinned, and it's like seven judges, and five of them are fucking attracted to light skinned boys. Like, obviously, it's gonna be a fucking turn, and it's not gonna be fear. Or,
yeah.
Or when it comes down to, like, on a regular day basis, I feel like carrying myself, like, a light skinned person can just, when they look raggedy, I'm gonna say raggedy, oh my God. When they look.
Say it, raggedy.
When they look a little bit more rough.
Yeah.
They're considered as grungy. Like, it'd be something nice, like an undertone of something. But if a dark skinned person just walk around here, don't take care of his beard, don't take care of his skin, don't do that, you look at them like, oh my God, this dude is a thug. Or like, he gotta walk around here and smile a lot for you to see that he's a pleasant person. Mm-hmm. Like stuff like that is just not cool. And I just had this conversation with somebody last night too. So yeah, in everything I do, and even when it comes up to me, my creative process, and because I be trying to like be out there. Like this year, I promised myself that I was gonna try my best to like put myself out there, like, so I can get a lot of opportunities that I've dreamt of getting, like being on commercials, being in a big movie, like, you know, just a big opportunities. So I really did a lot of shit, but it's like people, I don't feel like people fully really give me the credit or take it in like that. Because when I be on Instagram and I be looking at everybody else's, I'm not saying everybody's Instagram, but I be looking at social media itself. A light skinned dude like a Poppy can come in and he look cute as fuck, and his lip is pink as fuck, and every single thing this nigga do, y'all,
they just go crazy,
like
crazy.
Like, he's exotic. Like, that's
yeah,
he's exotic. But for me, for me over here, who's seriously been taking my shit seriously, and every single thing that I've been putting out has been thought, like a long thought process and everything to it, a lot of work. Like, I'm not like, they're not looking at me like they want some poppies for the fucking commercials. Like,
right.
Like to get invited to like different places. For example, like the New York Fashion Week shows us, if you're not extremely tall and dark skinned, they don't, it's like they want to see you at a New York Fashion Week. Yeah, but it's like for somebody who's light skinned or fairer, like they can do anything, they can put it together, it looks something that's not the norm. But then it already looks exotic. But for us, it's just, it just looks like we ain't doing enough. Like, we're not putting in enough work.
Don't you feel like, and I feel like this, even on a minuscule level, like down to the lighting that we have to have for ourselves, like when we're, you know what I mean? There's such a bigger requirement. Like, it can't be at this angle. It's got to be at that angle. It can't, you know what I mean? Or, but if I were light skin with freckles, it would be
everything.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's more weird when you're in a situation or in front of the camera with who's light skin or who's white. At that point, they don't give a fuck about your skin tone. The lighting that they put together is going to be catered to them people. You're going to be looking either bright or too dark.
Or too dark, yeah. So I want to unpack the bone scene with you because I have always had a very deep fascination. I would say I've had a deep affinity and appreciation for ballroom because my background is dance. So I do a lot of I've always had a deep fascination for people who were in the ballroom scene. I don't know if I've ever, like, the only thing I've only wanted to walk like once. Like, there was one time I was like, you know what, I'm gonna do it, and then I didn't do it. But so is, how do you feel? Well, here's what I feel, and I'm going to ask you how you feel about this. I feel like there has been a lot of glamorizing of the bump scene, and I kind of feel like it's been sold to the mainstream public to be like this.
It's not.
And it's not.
It's not.
Right?
It's not. The perfect example is like watching your favorite TV show. You love that shit. Like, you want to watch it every single day, not knowing that these actors behind the scenes hate each other. They're cussing each other out. They probably slap each other. Just want to be there. They're probably depressed. Like, it's a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it like that, that is a perfect example. Because ballroom is fun. It's a whole different culture. And especially when you live in one specific type of culture and you're used to a new culture in your adult life, that's something totally different. So it looks a certain way, but it's not. Like, people are really, people are really angry. As you can see, like, there's different things that happened recently. For example, like, the ball where the dude came in and maced everyone, maced the judges panel. The other day in California, he got slashed in their face, and he walks face. So his whole face is fucked up for life, like, carry over. So it's like, so it's like, these situations, you can see the negative things. And then if you come into ballroom being insecure, being a person that isn't strong in how you feel about yourself and loving who you are, you come to ballroom and leave ballroom being a whole different person. Like, you look different, walk different, everything about you is different. So I would, like, when it comes down to ballroom, I tell people, like, don't start this shit if you're not fully solid with who you are. And don't sit there and play yourself. Bitch, go to your therapist. If you really want to go to join ballroom, go to your therapist and then come to ballroom. Yeah.
In that order. Listen, I was in this club in Atlanta. It's been gone. It's called Trax.
Okay.
And I was probably 19, and I was standing next to who I didn't know at the time was Del Polanco, who was a part of the House of Ninja, I think. Mm-hmm. So she's this New Yorker girl. She's a dancer. She was in the Omarion Touch video.
Okay.
So she's like voking her fucking ass off. And I'm just like, that's what started the deep fascination, like seeing her just lose herself.
That's the perfect.
And that, yeah. Tell me, expound on losing yourself. There's got to be a freedom in that, emancipation in that.
It's a whole freedom. I'm getting there. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. And it's something that you don't just happen. Boom. So you have to experience it. Being free in ballroom, like walking your character, just means you feeling at that specific moment, you're the shit. There's nobody else in this room. There's nobody else that can touch you. You were the shit. And you're not thinking about the extra insecurities. You're not thinking about nothing. If you're vulgar, you're just going in and just letting it loose. Like, if your hand, hand smack something, if your shoes fly off, if your earring, let it be. And if it hits you back in the head, work with it, and you better dip with
work
it. In that moment, if there's a negative situation that happens in that moment, vogue through that negative situation. If somebody actually steps on you in that situation or spills their drinks on you, vogue in that situation. Land in the fucking drink on the floor. It's just a different thing. And as I said, I'm getting there. I'm not there yet because I still get a lot of anxiety. But
yeah,
for example, like, I know you see the face carry, like, When they be walking face, like, it'd be like the most beautiful people you see in this world. Damn.
Yeah.
And they don't care. Like, they feel, each person walking feel like they're the shit. And that's what losing yourself really feels like.
I love it. And that's so much, like I said, there's so much freedom in that. Like you said, there's so much, like, and it's okay to say you're not there yet. Like, it's okay. I wish more people were more honest in saying, I'm not there yet, but I'm aspiring to get there. And I don't think that we celebrate the transitional state enough. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you got to celebrate in the transition. Because if you're just going to celebrate at the end, like, you're going to be a very miserable motherfucker through the whole, and you're going to end up quitting, and then you're never going to come back.
And you're going to be angry, too, because it's just like, at that point, you haven't been through anything that you really need to feel proud of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, imagine me walking a category and, like, I've never lost a day in my life.
Yeah.
Baby, but if I never lost a day in my life, I'm going to be an arrogant, mean, weird person.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. So, last question for you, and then we're going to play a game. My last question is, what do you hope to leave behind, and what lineage do you hope to, or what do you hope to leave behind 50 years from now, 80 years from now, 100 years from now when you're going?
That is such a good question. All right. One thing that I always think about is, like, me being a young boy in Jamaica. I was very, very insecure, very unhappy, very sad. Wasn't really treated right by a lot of people around me, community, schools, anywhere. For me, I just hope that, like, when it comes down to the next generation or whoever else who is gay living in Jamaica and me, can really just sit back and just look at it and just say to themselves, like, it's going to be okay. Like, the shit probably not going to change. We always be hoping that world peace is, it's not fucking fine. We have to be real with ourselves and only do the work that we can do for ourselves. And I want people to look at me and just be like, you know what? I'm gay and I'm living in Jamaica and I just need to make it till 18 to get the fuck up out of here. Go follow my dreams and go live my life and be better than whatever anyone else thought it could be. There's a lot of people in Jamaica that even growing up, I knew who were gay and they felt like they weren't worth anything. Like, even now, like, I know people who live there and they just feel like Jamaica is it. Like, they feel like that's the furthest they can go. They feel like that's where life is and that's just it. And they're even scared to leave the country to go experience being on their own.
Wow.
Because people made them feel all their life that because they're gay, they're not worth it. Or and it's a horrible feeling. So it's like, for me, I just want people to look at me and be like, look at how I came here 19 with $1,000, no friends, no family. And I worked my way through it. And now I'm living the way I want to live. I'm doing what I want to do. And
yeah,
if the people from my past life or the people who from Jamaica who really don't fuck with me don't want to, including family, like, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. Like, my life is great. Like, I'm very fine.
I love it. I love that. Keep going. You literally have to keep going. You know, and I think it's amazing on how, like, so many Black boys from around the world can have the same relatable story, even if they don't have the same upbringing or commonalities, like, you know, growing up in the South. For me, you know, which South Carolina is the Bible state of the freaking world.
I know.
And, you know, being in church and being of church and being so, you know, lost in the complexity of wanting to be me, but wanting to please, you know, the God that created me, like, which didn't make any sense.
The God that they told you created you, like, oh my God. That topic is a whole different. I grew up in a church too, so that topic is a whole.
It does not make the math doesn't math up because it's made me hell sweaty.
It's given. Why did you make me? You knew I was about to be gay. Like, what? So you knew.
I'm
just doing this for the fun of it.
Like, were you just playing when you made me? Like, why would you make me this fabulous and you wouldn't want me to be like this fabulous? Like,
but I just pray that people who be in, like, Christian homes and, like, you know, that whole deeply rooted Christian situation, like, just leave your family's house. Stop living with them fucking people. Move out. I swear, if you move out of those homes,
you
realize that the world isn't what they tell you that it is. And it's like, you out here, and I be thinking all the time, I be, can you imagine being in church all your life and just, like, not expressing yourselves and
just expressing yourself, and just, like, and then you die,
and then you just wasted a whole life, my nigga. Like,
it's all gone.
Oh, that shit is so. And then if I know the whole afterworld exists, but you have to be sitting down there looking at yourself like,
damn, bitch, you could really turn the heat up over these 65 years.
Yo, I've been in the church and I've seen some. I've seen some ladies. They the shape, the natural shape, the sweat, the ass, everything. Be perfect, but y'all up here dying for a Christian man who's gonna cheat on you anyways and go to this strip club and do the same thing that any other man does and probably even worse. Like, girl, why are you wasting your time?
Why are you wasting, like, your time? Why are you wasting all this body?
Now, bitch, don't you know all these hood niggas out here will be flying you out to different churches?
Okay, get into your potential, sis.
Oh my God. Like, you could have had all these pastors flying you out.
You could have had all of everybody flying you out. But she wanted to be modest.
You got to cover, you got to put on the cloth and everything.
You got to put on the cloth and cover your titties.
But what I don't understand is that in the church, the worst things happen.
The worst, right? Literally the worst. I just read an article about, oh my God, how many priests were just convicted of over 30 years of child molestation? Like, they just got the names of so many priests that were convicted. I got to find that article. But I just read it like 4 days ago, and I'm like, it's the most scandalous stuff.
And it's like
isn't it ironic?
No, I'm just, not to cut you off, but it's just like, don't y'all realize that these people going to get grown? Like, we are going to snitch.
They're going to talk.
Like, we going to snitch.
They're going to talk. Which is a reason for you to deal with somebody who was of a consensual age. Like, why are you preying on young, but, you know... It's just, it's crazy. I think I don't ever want to feel like it's okay to never be who I am.
Exactly.
And in spaces where I can't, I know those spaces are not for me.
You know how many, do you know how many pastors I had sex with at church camp?
Listen, the scandal, the gag of it all is that,
oh my God, the same year I got baptized. The same day I got baptized at church camp. So the same time that I was at church camp when I got baptized, I was still sucking dick and pastors was sucking my dick. What is wrong with
me? It's it's like, it's so normalized. It's like, it can get popping anywhere. And literally, I have friends that have got it popping off in the sanctuary. Like, what did you do? What? In the sanctuary. Normalized. It's totally fine.
Oh my God, that offering pan is so thick. Oh my God. Yo, it's funny, yo.
Oh God, we could go an hour and talk about that. I got a game. All right, so my game, I'm going to give you a name, and you have to give me the first word that comes to mind, mm-hmm. Okay? So, for instance, I'll say grocery, and you don't have to call out the most conventional thing, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to call out this whatever name or word or whatever, and then you just dump out the first word association. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm going for vulgarity, obscurity, and all things funny.
Okay.
All right. We're going to start our timer. We have 60 seconds. All right.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Groceries.
Booty juice.
Moist.
Cucumber water.
Thanksgiving.
Table fucking.
Cisco.
Oh my God, Cisco. Fucking a blonde? I don't know.
Underwear.
Ooh.
Tennis shoes.
Ew, body odor.
Hairy.
Poppies.
12 seconds. Valentine.
Jacuzzi.
Fashion. Time. All right, you did amazing. All right, that was great. Well, listen, I'm not going to take up any more of your time. I totally appreciate you being a part of my show. I'm looking forward to having more conversations with you.
Definitely.
I think you're fabulous. I think you're doing a great work. I love the color scheme. I like all the posts on your IG. Totally fanned out. I appreciate your work and your time and your talents and your effort and everything that you've done up until this point to get here, to be an inspiration to the people that follow you.
Thank you. Thank you. Listen, I really want to come down to your side. I love the South. Like, I love the South. That's actually where I want to move to, but I don't know where yet. I think I got to visit and then figure out where exactly I want to be, but I do want to be in the South.
I could see you in, like, I don't know. I don't think you're an Atlanta guy. Like, you don't strike me as the Atlanta kind of guy.
My dad lives there. I pop in and pop out that's all I need. That's all I need.
Yeah, because this is too much. It's way too much. See, I could see you living in, like, a Charlotte, because you can get both, like, because if you're anything like me, like, you like people, but you also like to be away from people.
My best friend lives in Charlotte.
Oh, see, boom.
But then whenever I visit him, it'd be boring. I'm not saying it's not boring. It's like, it's just different. Like, it's more quiet, because every time, it's like every night he had something to do, like a friend's gathering somewhere at somebody's house or something. So that's what I love in a situation. Like, I don't really love the club like that. I like house parties. I like game nights and stuff like that. And that's what it gives down there. So I like that. But when it comes down to, like, fashion, like, shopping and stuff, and, like...
Oh, no, not at all.
No. Like, I tried that in Charlotte. It definitely
didn't. No.
So I'm nervous about that. Like, I do want to have a lifestyle where I can, like, create and do things. And I don't think I'm going to find great photography studios and shit down there and people to network with. And I don't know. That's what I'm nervous about.
Yeah. It's one of those places where if you're bringing something into... Because I feel like Charlotte has a culture. Like, Columbia, South Carolina doesn't have a culture. It has a bunch of people that came together and are doing just different shit. But there's more of a culture, you know, in the city. And it's a little more clicky to me. But, I mean, I think based on the people that I know that are in fashion and in production, it's worked well for them because there's a need. There's an emerging audience, I'll say. There's a progressive audience that's coming into Charlotte.
Maybe I'll come and add to it.
And add to it. Just come on. And then, you know, and then I will just set up photo shoots as often as I can. Dude, I would love to shoot with you at some point. I don't know if you've ever shot with like another. Do you ever do duo shoots or like?
Duo shoots? What do you mean?
Like, or do you ever shoot with other people?
Oh, yeah. I'm always up in the shoot at all times. Yeah. I'm always up in the shooting. Yeah. I just love creating. That's my thing. Like, I just love creating. Honestly.
It's so therapeutic. I appreciate you so much. Thank you. And we're going to be following up with you this weekend, okay?
No problem. You have a wonderful holiday. Have fun. Eat a lot of food. Get some cornbread. I didn't get none yesterday, but I'm going to get something.
I'm going to need you to get some cornbread by Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to get more things by
Sunday. Yeah, you need to come to the South, because if you're talking about cornbread, that's...
I like jalapeno cornbread.
You know what? I saw the ingredients to, what is it, sweet potato cornbread?
Somebody, that's real. They mentioned that last night. Oh my God, it's real.
It's real.
Okay.
It's real. And I need it.
Period. All right, go do your shit and enjoy your day. I'm about to go get ready.
Thank you.
Smoke a blunt and go to work.
Absolutely. Doing the same. Have a good one.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Black Queer Culture Show with James Patrick.